If you're a baby Christian and you don't know anything, God will do a lot more for you than he will for a season. Because once we start to mature in the Lord, then he expects a little bit more of us, like any child. He starts growing up, you give him more responsibility, and he starts growing in it, right? But that came, that question came to me. And in many ways, our future has been placed in our hands. Sowing and reaping. Tell the truth. So, I know I can't get off of this manufacturer's guide, the operations manual. If we would look at it like that instead of this holy thing, oh, no one can know the Bible. Well, come on, why did he give it to us? If you can't understand it, he would have just left it out and just let you ruin your life. Right. If he, you know, but he gave us the Bible so we could start implementing it and walking it, appropriating it in our life so that we would have a guide, something measurable so we can say, okay, I can do this. And when you do the word, God partners with you and he gets involved. Why? Because he watches over his word to fulfill it. He doesn't watch over your attitude to fulfill that. He doesn't watch over your moaning and groaning and complaining and griping. No, he watches over his word to fulfill it, the Bible says. So, let's look at this. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. You know, this says a whole lot of things to us. You know, when God does something new, and it says there's nothing new under the sun, and if there is anything new, it didn't come from this world, it came from God. So there's nothing new under the sun, but he gives, when you were made a new creation, you know, when God does something new, it can't stay secret very long. You know, when you were born again, it didn't stay a secret very long. Because you began to walk different. You began to talk different. You began to think different. You began to believe different. You began a lot of things different. I remember the first time that I really became aware of the effect that the change in me had on other people. It was shortly after I was born again. I was playing in a rock band. I did not tell them that I had become a Jesus freak. This is 1975. Jesus, I didn't tell him I had accepted the Lord. I didn't tell him that I now believed in Jesus. And it's amazing because I noticed a reaction in them, something in their expression or their eyes or whatever. And, you know, they doubled down on everything. They tried to get me to talk like I always talk, and they're trying to get me to... They doubled down on their cursing and their cussing, too. You know, they doubled down on that. Had that ever happened to you? And it just seems like they're really doubling down. And I got offered more beers, more alcohol, more invitation to parties, and I'm not even going to go there, what those were about. And so what I'm saying is they were trying to get me to be who I always was. There's something innate about them that discerns something that they couldn't understand up here, but they were trying to get me to be me, the old me. That's the pull of the world. Now, I went home one night after practice, and I just sat in my chair and just started to think about these things. And then I remembered the way I treated my brother. When he came home from the army, he had been saved. I didn't know he was saved. He didn't tell me for a couple of weeks. But I knew there was something different about him, and I did the same thing. I was getting him to let's go get drunk, or let's go smoke dope or whatever, and trying to get him to. And he said, "Nah, I got something else I got to do." And he wasn't the same Rick. And so then I started double down and on the curse and the swearing. And I remember, and it was a revelation to me that this is something powerful had happened. And all the time the devil is trying to say, well, you know, you're one of those Christians. You're one of the weak ones now. You can't really do what other people do. You can't have fun like the other. You know something? You are not the weak one. The devil's kids are the weak ones. They're the ones who are given over to all this crud that the world throws at them. You're not. You've been delivered from that. You have been translated from one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and power. No, there's something strong about you that the world is afraid of. That's why they're doing all this. They don't understand anything spiritual, and they don't understand you now that you are a new recreated spirit, that the living Christ lives on the inside of you. Christ lives on the inside of you. You know, this is something that we need to just settle once and forever. And I'm going to walk like it, and I'm going to talk like it. The expression on my face is going to minister like it. I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to be joyful, and I'm going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit. I don't know if you got anything out of that, but I sure did. Well, that brought me right back. You are a new creation in Christ. That is done. That is complete. That's if you've accepted the Lord. So let's look at this. Proverbs 18:21. Now, this is not talking about the power of life and death is in your tongue. No, it says the power is in your tongue. We're not talking about the power of life and death. Those are forces and those are laws. Those are spiritual laws, the law of death and the law of the spirit of life in Christ. Those are laws. The power is in your tongue. God, this word power is a really good word, too. It means what we just read earlier in 2 Chronicles 2. It is the Hebrew word yod, Y-A-D in English, but it's pronounced yod like Y-A-W-D, yod. And it means this. It means to place something into the hands of another or to give something over to the authority of another. When God gave the enemies of Israel over into their hand, that phrase, into their hand, it's the word yod. God has given your tongue over to your power. It has empowered your tongue to be under your authority. He has given it into your hand. You can speak death or you can speak life. You can speak blessing or you can speak cursing. You can speak sickness or you can speak health. You can speak weakness, or you can speak strength. You can speak fear, or you can speak confidence. Insecurities or security in God. You have the power. Your tongue is empowered to speak life and death and to release those forces into this world. That's what this is saying. So, number one, God has given our words over into our hands to choose our own words, and we have the power to speak life or death. Number two is our words produce fruit. Fruit. In fact, if you go back to the previous verse, verse 20, here, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. What is that? That's the fruit of your words. Are we there yet? John, verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The fruit of the mouth. This is in context with the very next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I've already passed that, John. Go to verse 21. It's in context. So he's talking about the fruit of the mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. The increase of his lips, he shall be filled. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it, that love it, shall eat its fruit. Love what? Life or death? No. Love the power of the tongue, who are devoted to the power that God has given them in their own words to be able to speak life, blessing, love, the things of the Spirit of God. We have been given that right. And that means that we have a free will. God's not going to force his will on us in order to get his point across. No, he gives us the truth, and he lets us decide. There's a lot that he has given over to us, wouldn't you say? Amen. Fruit here, according to the law of Genesis, is that the fruit carries the life, the seed in itself to reproduce itself. Fruit carries more of the same seed of the very source that it came from. In other words, an apple tree produces fruit, and that apple has seed in itself. When that apple falls to the ground and starts to germinate, it grows another tree. And it grows another tree. When that fruit, until it becomes a forest of apple trees, or peach trees, or orange trees, or nectarine, whatever it is, whatever kind of fruit it is. The fruit is determined by the seed. And Jesus said that our words are like seeds. They will reproduce after their own kind. The fruit carries more of the same seed in itself and reproduces after its own kind. Seeds carry. Words carry. Seeds transport life and death. Words transport life and death, blessing and cursing, sickness and weakness or strength, anger or peace, confidence, offense, everything. You can put anything into the power of the tongue, and you can speak it. So what you need to say is, I attend unto his words. I'm going to tell you a story here. There's a friend of mine named Larry Allison. In fact, he's the guy that ordained me into the ministry. He's past president of ICFM. He is pastor of a church called Walk on the Water Faith Church in Osage, Missouri. But Larry is a dynamic individual. And he wrote this story recently. And it goes like this. He said, there's an old saying that says, how you live is how you die. This statement is not always completely true, but it's generally supported by Scripture. While the thief on the cross next to Jesus made a last-minute change for his destiny, most people in the Bible arrived at the destination that was determined by the course that they themselves set in life. While it is possible to receive salvation and change your destiny for eternity in the last moments of your physical life, and by the way, I know many people who have. Mickey Mantle is one of them. While it's possible, that's usually not the case. Most often, the momentum of the course that you set will determine the outcome of your destination. Let me explain, he said. A friend of mine, no, he said this. You may remember a story of a commercial airline that crashed and burned several years ago, killing all its occupants except for one man who was miraculously delivered without being burned. He was a guest on many talk shows, and he was a sought-after speaker for years, telling his story of his miraculous deliverance from certain death. Larry said, I remember watching one talk show where they asked him these two questions. Number one question, what had you done that morning before you headed out to the airport for your flight? You know what he answered? I was praying, and I was studying the Scriptures. You know, God said his word will not return void. The second question asked him, as the fuel was igniting and flames were rushing through the cabin, was it the same case with everyone else, that they too were crying out to God? Larry wrote this. He said, I will never, never forget this man's answer. The man said that while clothing and flesh were being burned, he fully expected to hear people crying out to God for help. But what he heard was cursing and screams and vile accusations toward God. Larry said, this troubled me for years. I could not get this out of the head. And finally, the Lord got it through my head. Here's what the Lord told him. He asked the Lord, why would people in the presence of imminent death curse you? And he said, it was revealed to me during a time of prayer that in a disaster like this, when people are taken by sudden surprise, most people will die no differently than the way in which they lived. He said, it's just like Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, we had, out of the abundance of the heart, what are you saying? What are you filling your heart with? This is what we need to fill our heart with the right things. When we fill our heart with the right things, we will be speaking the right things when we need them to show up, the words. There's something that will stand up inside us and start declaring, God is my refuge, my fortress. He is my God, in him I trust. I will stand in him. He is my rear guard. He goes before me. You know, this is what we've got to build into our hearts. How do you build things into your heart? Well, turn to Mark 11, chapter 23. I'm going to read a verse here that Kenneth Hagin wrote. That's a joke. But in Mark 11, 23, he says this, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice it doesn't say he has whatsoever he prayeth. It says he has whatsoever he says. Now, while Kenneth Hagin was meditating on this verse one day, the Lord just said to him, he said, have you ever noticed, Kenneth, that the word say appears three times and the word believe only appears once? Look at it. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He says, you need to start speaking three times, my word, three times more than what you're thinking about it, what you're praying about it. You need to say it three times more. In fact, he said, you need to teach people about this process three times more than you preach them anything else. And they said, why do you always preach the same messages on faith, Brother Hagin? He'd say, well, I keep on teaching until nothing's taught until something is learned. And I can tell by listening to you that you haven't learned a thing. So I'm going to stay on it. I'm going to stay on this. Three times more confession of the Word of God than praying or thinking. See, if you just have thoughts that you're thinking, those are still thoughts. What was that? What is this?
It's from the Christmas decorations.
Oh, I knew it. I knew that. I was just testing. Okay. Was ist das? Okay. Where was I? See, if you think the Word of God, that's a good thing to do. But until you say it, the spirit of faith is not released. And there's no action taking place in heaven. Angels don't know what to do. They can't see into your heart. Demons don't know what to do. They can't see in your heart. The only way demons can understand what's going on in you is by your words. They understand what you think, what you believe, everything about you. They understand by listening to your words. And that's how the devil plans his action plan against you. He knows what you believe, so he can go along those lines and continue to lead those with thoughts of deception in that area. He knows what your tendencies are. He watches you, but it's your words that tell him. You see, the invisible personality comes out of us by our words, clearly displayed. Sobering. So how does your heart become abundant with things? By saying it. By speaking it. The death and life are in the power of your tongue. Jesus is talking about the abundance of the heart. In I think it was Luke chapter 6. When he says, a good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, and a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if our heart is abundant with life and all of the blessings of life, what did Jesus speak? He spoke healing, forgiveness, love, mercy. Somebody on a talk show once said, you know, and this minister was there, and there was other ministers with him, and he said, well, I'll just say it was Larry King. He said, well, Jesus preached love and acceptance, right? And they all said, oh, yeah. No, he didn't. That may surprise you, because there's something wrong with that. And if you go back to the scriptures and see, it says Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying what? Repent and believe the gospel. That's not love and acceptance. No, let go of that stuff and latch on to this. That's what repentance is. In fact, repentance is a lot more than just changing your mind. There's four different words used for repentance in the New Testament. We'll get to that someday. And I'd really like to do that, because I'll tell you what, repentance is the way out. Repentance is the way through. The repentance is the way into the door of the kingdom. I'm all over the place today. But look at this. Are you getting anything? Okay. When those people in that plane were cursing God, this guy was standing secure in who he was. You know, it really didn't matter, because to him it looked like graduation day. Hallelujah, I'm going to see Jesus. You know, because the fear of death is gone. It's evaporated. There is no more fear of death when you believe the one who rose from the dead and who conquered your enemy. Renewing our minds constantly by feeding on the Word of God, the attributes of God, will tell you something about yourself that without the ministry of the teachings, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will never understand these things. That's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you can come up here after, we'll lay hands on you, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You need he is an encourager, a helper, a comforter. He's so many things. He's a dynamic person. So, let me get back to this. In you is love. Not just love, but the love of God. And the love of God is a just love. It's not a feeling type of love. It's a just love. It's a powerful love. It's backed by the justice of heaven. In you is the joy of the Lord, which is supernatural strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do anything by the power of his name. I have the love of the Lord. You know, you can go on through the fruit of the Spirit and through the attributes of God in these things. Start saying that. I have the love of God. It is a magnificent fruit in my spirit. It bears seed, and it will grow up and blossom. The love of God will blossom in my heart, and those seeds will reproduce more love, and I will be a forest of love for the world to come and see who Jesus really is. I have the joy of the Lord, and the fruit of joy in my heart is exuding all the time, producing more seed and more seed. And I am a forest of joy, of strength and life and power and blessing. I have the peace of God in me, growing in me. When I speak, peace comes out. When I say, peace, be still, this storm, that storm, that storm doesn't have any right to be anymore. Why? Because the power of death and life is in the power of my tongue. And these storms are not of God. Did I tell you that last week about the this same guy, Larry Ollison, hail damage on his roof? And did I tell you this? All right. The insurance guy came over, and there was, like, they estimate $9,000 worth of damage. So he had a check for $9,000. He said, just sign here. And Larry looked at it and says, okay. He says, I can't sign this. He said, why? Because you're calling this an act of God, and it was not an act of God. Storms are not of God. Otherwise, Jesus would have been working against himself when he calmed that storm. Storms are not of God. The world, this earth is out of whack ever since the fall. And those storms came as a result of the fall of man who had authority and dominion over this earth. Now God, Jesus has restored that to us, but we've got to walk in it. So love, joy, peace, patience. That's something that you need to start speaking. I have patience. I have long-suffering. I have endurance. I am consistent in this. And keep on speaking that and speaking that and speaking that. What are you doing? You're creating an abundance in your heart of patience, of joy, of peace, of love. You're speaking it and speaking it. The spirit of faith is being released. God honors faith. And the Spirit of God takes it and starts multiplying it. I've talked about the inner ear and the outer ear. When you speak, things become lodged and registered in your heart in a very real and dynamic way. Then there are other things that are already inside of you through the new birth. One is called dunamis. King James transferred it as virtue. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' robe and he felt virtue, dunamis, go out of him, and she knew she was healed. Dunamis. Ishkus is another one. That's the spiritual muscle of God. It's in the Old Testament, it's referred to as the arm of God or the mighty hand of God that he delivered Egypt or delivered Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand parting the seas. It's a muscle of God. It's referred to in the New Testament as Ishkus. Then there's Kratos, which is demonstrative power that raised Jesus from the dead. In Ephesians 1:19, it says that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, of his Kratos, when he raised Jesus from the dead. This is resurrection power. This is explosive, demonstrative resurrection power. That's in you. If the same spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, how about it? Look. Are you guys there today? You guys, come on. Come on, you gotta stay with me here. Kratos. In addition, there's also other giftings. Office of ministries, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, administrations, helps. Oh, the ministry of helps is amazing ministry. The helper is in that one. Resurrection power. Is there anything in your life that has died that you would like to see come back to life? Well, I'm telling you, we need to develop a resurrection consciousness towards those things. Start declaring the desired result. Don't start speaking the problem, saying, you know what? This problem is continuing with me all the time. I can't seem to get rid of this. This is just not done. You're agreeing with the problem. You're speaking death. You have a different power. You have the power in your tongue to rule the spirit of life in Christ Jesus in your own body. This might be a different language to some of you if you're not really keyed in. But start declaring the end result. This is what God says about your situation. that you will live and not die. Your body says, I'm dying. God says, no, you live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God. Whether it's physical, emotional, mental, healing, just start speaking it. Start speaking. You're agreeing with the truth that cannot be altered. Start speaking the word of God says about it and build that promise and that provision of, from the word of God into your spirit. Turn to, with me to Joshua chapter 1. I want you to look at something here in a new way to say, well, I know this, I've heard this before, but look, you need to look at this in a new way. Joshua 1 verse 8. Moses had died. Joshua is now in charge. You want to follow the act of Moses? God is telling him how. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your what?
Mouth.
That doesn't mean you eat it. That means you speak it. Out of your mouth. Jesus said, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. Shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What does meditation mean? Speaking it, speaking it, speaking it. As you speak it and speak it and speak it and mull it over in your mind, speak it, speak it, speak it. You're building an abundance in your heart of whatever it is in the word. For him, it was leadership. He needed a revelation. But you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. You know, there's all kinds of success in this world. But God calls. I mean, you could be a very successful person and have your kids running around like the devil. Or have your wife run, or whatever, running around. You know, this is good success. This is good success. It gives you peace and joy in the work of your hands and a fulfillment, that sense of creativity, that sense of accomplishment can be fulfilled in you with good success. How does that happen? By building the word of God into your spirit. By believing, confessing it with your mouth. Do you see why it's so necessary? Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 says, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession, for the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Establish it. And keep speaking it and keep speaking it until your mind starts obeying you. That's your mind. That's not the devil's mind. That's your mind. It belongs to you. You control it with the words that you speak, what you meditate, how you feed your spirit. This is the daily bread. It goes right back to the Lord's Prayer, or what they call the Lord's Prayer. And we've been studying that. This is a declaration, declaring the end from the beginning. Every morning, Jesus, God alone, and he started saying, who God is. Father, 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 I am your son. I am who you say I am. Holy Father, blessed be thy name. You are in heaven. I am here on the earth. You have all the answers. I empty myself of all of my presupposed whatever, my preconceived notions. And I lift them up, and I receive your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge right now. I receive that in Jesus' name. I receive that. And this is the way Jesus would start off every day. Where does it say that? Well, by what he taught. He wouldn't teach us to do something he didn't do himself. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is that? Thy word. His word is his will. Your word be done in earth as it is in heaven. In me, in all the things that I put my hand to do today, I know that you're there. You are my supernatural dad. You are my father. Start talking that way. Start building that into your heart so that by the time Jesus left prayer, he was leaving in the power. He was walking in that power of who he was, all he could do, where he was seated with the Father. That's his seat of authority. Now, let's get back to this seed thing. The question we need to stop and ask ourselves many times during the day, what am I saying? What am I saying? Because when you say something, you're agreeing with something that's already in place, death or life. What am I saying here? What am I saying? You could say, instead of saying, what am I saying, you could say, the equivalent to that is, what am I filling my heart with? What am I filling my heart with? Because what I am saying is what I am filling my heart with. What am I filling my heart with? What am I filling my heart with? What am I? Well, you get to choose what you fill your heart with. Pray the prayer in Ephesians twice a day, three times a day. Just pray it. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say that. He used to say, if you pray the Ephesian prayer every day for 6 months, the Bible will be a new book to you. And God will become very well known to you. Just pray it all the time. Pray it. That's Ephesians 1, 17 through the end of the chapter. And also the other prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his mercy. And go on and on and on. Pray those Ephesian prayers. We carry in our mouth the power over life and death. This is the power that the Apostle Paul walked in when he said, look, I can go and be in heaven, or I can stay here. You know, I can say, Lord, I'm just going to give my will over to Caesar to do what Nero, whatever he wants to do with me, but it's more needful for me to stay here, so I'm staying. Who had the power of death over him? He did. You had the power of life and death over you. You do. It's been conferred. This is a benefit of the New Testament that you can take advantage of. All the benefits and blessings and promises are all locked. That is a legal document, and it has been locked up and legalized for you to come and tap into those promises. I'll tell you something. I'm happy with that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, honor it, shall eat its fruit. You want to eat life? Me too. The bread of life, the waters of life. It's also comes together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void. Lord, that it makes all things new, that it brings us our inheritance, the things that you want us to have and enjoy, the things that we need in order to walk this life, in order to walk out our salvation, in order to walk it out and enjoy you and just enjoy your love and your companionship in our life. We thank you that you are the God of blessing, the God of love, the God of peace, the God of all joy, the God of all comfort, the God whose unlimited grace is found in that person of Jesus Christ. If you have never, on purpose, received Jesus Christ as your Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. It's an opportunity that I took advantage of back on July 20th, 1975. I was an atheist. I was scared, but I didn't have any answers to life. I was constantly pushed, driven But I said, Jesus is my Lord. So pray this prayer. Say, let's all pray it together. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I drop all of my opinions. I want to know the truth. I want to listen to you. I want to know you. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe his blood paid the entire price for all of my sins. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. And I receive the life that Jesus came to give. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And from this day forward, I am saved. I will walk with you. And I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we had a little girl at KPA. She called us on the phone. Actually, it was Leah called us and said, Annabelle has something to tell you. So she said, yeah, I asked Jesus to come into my heart today. We told Annabelle, Lori said, Annabelle, angels are rejoicing in heaven right now. They're dancing and throwing a party that you wouldn't believe. And they're not even going to be through that party when you get there. What'd she say? Do I have to go now? It's like the... The doctor said, I got good news and bad news. Never mind, I'm not going to. God just loves to play with us. He does. Annabelle's eternal destiny was changed with one prayer. So whether it's a thief on the cross, whether it's a young child, Jesus died for all of us. And none of us are getting there without that blood. None of us could have gotten there. Amen. Well, you are dismissed. We're going to fellowship in the cafe and have some lunch. And watching it. Relationship University is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, so join us there. Boy, this is what you won't find. You know, seminaries don't teach you this. Schools don't teach you this. Colleges don't teach you this. But we need help with relationships. And if we're going to benefit from them. It's so good. So that's Wednesday night, and we'll see you then, or we'll see you next Sunday. God loves you. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will pray for you. We've seen miracles at this altar, so don't be afraid. The worst prayer that you'll ever pray is the one you don't ask. Okay. Amen. And remember,